The people of our region today are very different from the people of our region 200 years ago. There's no nice way to say that white settlers wiped indigenous people off the map in Oregon and California, but that's what happened. And since the people in charge control the narrative, it can be difficult in the extreme to suss out what really happened between, among, and to Native people in the region. That brings us to a play being performed in Reading tomorrow. Undamming History will be performed as part of Indigenous Peoples History Day, 2 o'clock at the Cascade Theater in Reading. We have three guests on the phone to talk about the production. Mark Dadigan is a freelance journalist and a volunteer script editor for the program. Welcome, Mark.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Good to have you here. Barbara Wolfen is with us as well. She is a recent graduate from, we'll figure out which school in a moment. She's also an actor in the production. Barbara, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. And we have with us as well Jack Potter Jr., who is the tribal chairperson for the Reading Rancheria. Jack, you there?
Good morning. It's Jack Potter Jr. here. How are you doing today?
Good. Good to have you. In fact, why don't you start us off, Jack, and give us an overview of Indigenous Peoples History Day.
Indigenous Peoples Day was started 2 years ago. The Shasta Historical Society approached a handful of local Native Americans through Mark Dadigan, who he thought, you know, would be instrumental to start this thing. And last year it was an introduction into Indian country. We read parts about five of the historical tribes and some of the historical people that were prominent within those tribes. And this year it's a little bit more. We are reaching back into some of the historical events like the massacres and things that had happened to our people. And you know, tying them into how they, it may be from the past, but things are still happening to our people today in this time. And so, you know, it kind of reaches back in time, but then how it correlates and relates to today.
Mark Dadigan, let's bring you in here and talk about the creation of the play. I see 10 people listed as writers, including Jack and you. Tell us about what you set out to do and how you divided up the work of researching and writing this.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was a really collaborative process and has been all the way through. And basically what happened is we had a planning committee, which had representatives from all the local tribes who got together in a meeting, and we developed kind of the sketch outline of the play together. And then I took that information and I went and kind of holed myself up for a few weekends and developed this script. And really, for the past 8 years, I've been covering Native American issues for different publications, national and regional publications, and you know, I put a lot of the research from that work into the play as well. And also, you know, there's some fictional scenes, but they're all based on reality and things that are really happening on oral histories and stories I've heard from throughout Indian country. And then we came up with a draft of the play based on that. And ever since then, you know, the actors who are all participating, they've made changes. They've made edits just to make it so it's more in their voice and really true to them. And so, you know, it really has been a collaborative process in developing this story.
Barbara Wolfen, let's bring you in here. You you play one of the principal characters, Awi. What is your story?
My story, I relate to this play because I'm a recent graduate at Haskell Indian Nations University. And the main reason why I went to Haskell was similar to this play was to solidify my research on my people, and also to share my people's story with other Indigenous communities as well. And more specifically, Awi, she has a connection with her grandpa, which is in the play, which mirrors my life because I was really close to my grandpa, and he was an advocate for education. So, and I was born and raised in Peut River Territories, so that's my connection.
All right, we have a clip here, a couple of clips actually that that I want to play. This one is a monologue, or actually it's a dual monologue with the characters Jesse and James. So let's hear this from the play Undamned History.
More than 100 indigenous languages were spoken in California before contact, and our languages are interwoven with our philosophies and beliefs that English neglects. Before colonization, we had 9 bands of Wintu, the Yana people, as well as 9 bands of Achimawi and 2 Atsigewi bands. We would defend our territories, but we were a peaceful people. When the first white people arrived, some thought they were Yapatu, ancient people who lived in our world before us. Many of us welcomed them and tried to help at first.
We lived in houses made of cedar bark, and every village had a headman and council of elders. Prior to colonization, women and men had different and important roles, but they weren't rigid. Women's power to create life is known as a vital force in our societies. Our lands, rivers, and sacred places still lift us in times of need. But deforestation, the dams, the mining, and the ranching destroyed places where we trained our healers and where people went for blessings in times of despair.
That a clip from Undamming History. This seems like a very apt analogy, Jack Potter Jr., the idea that history was dammed up on you.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of our history is dammed up and, you know, it's hidden. And we as local Native Americans feel like, you know, we have a voice and, you know, they're, at this day and time, we need to be heard. And, you know, with the help of Mark and all of his wonderful research, you know, we know it. But then we're not really familiar with the archive system and all that. And so, you know, Mark has done a great job by compiling that and getting the, you know, the facts, because I know this is going to be a difficult thing for some of the people to see. But to have the facts there, you know, from the archives, the actual people's journals and everything that documented the atrocities that had happened to our people.
All right, we'll bring Mark in to talk about the archives he relied upon when we come back to the Jefferson Exchange to talk about the play Undamming History. It is part of Indigenous Peoples History Day tomorrow in Reading. This will perform at 2 o'clock at the Cascade Theater. We'll come back and talk more with Mark, Barbara, and Jack when we return to the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 15. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We are talking about a brand new play about Indigenous peoples in California called Undamming History. Think of undamming a river and the flow of water that comes out. This is like that, about history of Native American people in Northern California. It'll be presented at the Cascade Theater in Reading tomorrow at 2 as part of Indigenous Peoples History Day, going on the street in front of the Cascade Theater from 11 to 5 tomorrow. Three guests with us: Mark Dadigan, a freelance journalist and who took a lead role in organizing the project. Barbara Wolfen is a recent graduate of Haskell Indian Nations University and one of the actors in the production. Jack Potter Jr. is the tribal chairperson for the Reading Rancheria. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Mark, as a journalist, you're used to digging into files and public records and that sort of thing. How difficult can it be to find good records of Native people in Northern California?
Honestly, it's not that hard. And one thing I do kind of view the play as a work of journalism. And one thing we're going to do is we're going to post the script, which has more than 80 citations to it and a lot of uploaded primary source documents and reports, so people can see for themselves the research we used. It's actually really easy, not that difficult to find a lot of this information. It's just that people have to actually desire to go seek it out. And recently there have been some really excellent scholarship, the book by Benjamin Madeley, An American Genocide, and the Murder State book by Professor Brendan Lindsay at Sac State, that provided a lot of information that, you know, gave that gave backing to a lot of the oral histories you'll hear around the community.
So, but let's, Jack Potter, give us some idea of you know, how much the information that you're presenting in the play is available in history books and presented in school, for example.
Probably 0%, because all what's in our local history books, especially dealing with California Native people, is California Native people built missions. And if you get up to our area up here in Northern California, our people weren't involved in building the mission systems. There was a few Mexican land grants, and some of the Native people, you know, were taken upon those land grants as indentured servitude under the California state law, which allowed them to, you know, enslave our people by claiming the rights to the children
And they would ask the people, well, how do you know those children are orphaned? Well, I killed their parents. And so then under that act, they would, you know, indenture that child and wouldn't release them until they were 18 or 21, depending if they were male or female, or if they feel like they have paid their fine off. And at that time, most of the people got accustomed to that area or on that rancho, and they just continued to stay on there because their way of life was completely gone. And they, you know, they were captured as children.
Barbara Wolfen, did you grow up with stories like this? I mean, these are stories that I think a lot of people listening probably can't relate to. They can't imagine anything that horrible, you know, hearing about, well, I know their parents are dead because I killed them. I mean, and how then, I mean, first of all, let's get the original answer about whether you heard stories like this growing up.
Yeah, I have. I've actually have my grandparents. They've actually were forced to go to boarding schools when they were younger. And, you know, these oral traditions, whether they're ugly or whether they're negative and however, you know, people look at it, they're still passed down from generation to generation. Because I was always taught that you always remember who you are and where you come from. And part of those stories is part of that history. Those oral traditions are as important as the ones that are actually being written or that are being cited in the play. So, yes, I have heard stories like this before.
We have a clip, another clip to play from Undamming History, and this is a prayer that that you, Barbara, are giving for Jesse. Can you set it up for us and tell us what's going on here?
Yeah, so in the classroom scene, Jesse was, I guess, being bullied in a sense. He was, because of his long hair, he was made fun of his long hair. And so the discrimination in the classroom is what really got to him. So he dropped out of school once he turned 18. And then he turned to alcohol to numb his pain. And so this prayer is me coming up to him and embracing him and letting him know not to give up.
Okay,
and
here's,
to keep going.
Here's Barbara's prayer for Jesse from Undamming History.
Creator, I'm worried about my cousin Jesse. He takes in the pain of his ancestors and can't let go. I pray you ward off all evil from him. Let him hear and see the good things. Let him remember the good people in his life before the bad things he's taken inside grow too big and too painful. Help him see the light our people have always found, even in the darkest of times. Oh.
That's the voice of Barbara Wolfen from Undamming History. We also have Jack Potter Jr. and Mark Dadigan joining us here on The Exchange to talk about Undamming History tomorrow at 2 at the Cascade Theater in Reading. Mark, give us a broader sense of what the story is in Undamming History, what the dramatic action is.
Yeah, so we are reenacting scenes from the Gold Rush, which is when the probably bloodiest portion of the genocide happened here in the region against the Native people. And we're also mixing those reenactments with scenes from fictional scenes of the modern day of this young student, Awi, and her cousin Jesse going to the school system and trying to deal with the school curriculums, which really either erase, you know, the history of Native people in their community or simply soft pedal what happened to them. And, you know, that's an ongoing problem with the social studies curriculum in California. And I know there are some efforts underway to try and correct this. But, you know, when you have people who have, you know, suffered these atrocities and then you read in school books that the dispossession of their lands and the diminishment of their population it's kind of implied that either this was natural or part of progress or just something that had to happen. And what we're kind of trying to portray is just how painful that can be in very subtle ways and how it really paints an inaccurate picture of who we all are as a community. And I think one thing I'm really proud of about the play is that I think if there's something in there for everyone, for Natives and non-Natives, and really provides guidance to everyone about ways to move forward and address this and not just feel bad or to try and make people feel guilty. You know, there's a real message about how to move forward with it.
So is the information in the history books, the textbooks you mentioned, wrong or just told exclusively from a white person's perspective of, you know, sort of like Manifest Destiny? It was our destiny to take over the continent.
Yeah, I would say, you know, the manifest destiny, you know, that's kind of the typical viewpoint. You know, it's maybe gotten more and more subtle over the years, but, you know, just this idea that our Western civilization was inevitably going to take over, and that, you know, there wasn't another way for indigenous people to be part of the creation of society or for partnerships to be made. And you know, instead, you know, the implication is that, you know, that there wasn't this process and campaign to exterminate and destroy the indigenous societies, that it was just part of the natural evolution of civilization. And I think that's really a lie that really affects how we understand our communities, both as Native and non-Native people, and we need to get to the truth of it.
Jack Potter, Jr., have there been many surprises along the way, the material that's been collected to bring together onto the stage in Undamning History?
Could you clarify that a little bit? What do you mean as surprises?
I mean, there are things, that stories that you hadn't known until this play was put together.
No, I've pretty much known a lot of our history. I was raised by my elders, by both sets of grandparents I had a lot of involvement with, and they were also leaders from way back then. And so I was raised up with all this knowledge. It was passed down and passed down. In fact, if you go through my family tree, my grandmother, she was captured. She was taken to Round Valley Reservation over in Covelo. She was an Oriel McWintu woman. And at the age of 14, this 34-year-old male paid her fine and bought her out of indentured servitude. He paid, I think, $14, and he got a wife. So if you really look at that, you know, she was a 14-year-old girl, and this 34-year-old white male, really, it's child molestation. But that is some of the things that has happened to our people. And, you know, at the time, it may have been appropriate. In my mind, I don't think it's ever appropriate, you know. But we knew those things because they were shared. My grandparents shared those things with me as I pass it down to my grandchildren.
Barbara Wolfen, you're a recent graduate of Haskell Indian Nations University in Kansas. I can imagine you met a lot of other Native people from across the country. Was it just an ongoing, endless procession of stories of things done wrong to Native people that you would share with people on campus?
No, definitely not. I think that we acknowledge what has happened. We acknowledge, and for the most part, for the new students coming in, you know, we have retreats for them. So because this whole colonization process, it's a lot to take in if you've never heard of it before. So we have retreats for the new students. But for the most part, at Haskell, we share our cultural protocols. We share our dances. We share our songs. There's teepees that are built. There's sweats on campus. You know, there's ceremonies. There's also a church nearby. So it's a different mix of cultural identities, you know, from different tribes. And it's actually, there's 150 tribes represented at Haskell alone itself. So it's a very powerful place. And so we don't, you know, dwell on the negative. We just acknowledge it, and then we uplift ourselves, and then we all share what we know.
Let's listen to another clip from Undamning History. It's the final one we have, and this is a monologue done by you, Barbara. And so let's hear this, and we can talk about what we hear once it's over.
When I tell people about the history of the genocide our people survived, some people say they feel guilty or it's too horrible to face. And I think of the Ajumawi woman who sacrificed her child to save her village. There are so many heroes like her who have been hidden in the footnotes of history, whose deeds and names need to be discovered. Every Native who kept a song or language alive, every Native who kept ceremonies going underground, they are heroes. Every settler who provided a safe haven from massacres, every Native who survived a boarding school, every linguist who helped record our languages, every Native who kept our medicines alive, they are heroes. Every Native who learns their language, every Native who dances and sings at a ceremony, every Native who still dreams, every Native who builds a canoe, every Native who stands up for a sacred site, they are all heroes. Like raging waters of an undammed river, Our people's stories flood us with resilience and courage. Our history reminds us that the forces of fear, shame, and greed can be survived and eventually overcome together.
So something of a hopeful note there in this monologue from Undamning History. How much discussion, Mark Dadigan, was there of tone and how to present this?
I think everyone who's involved, the first event we did last year, it was all about ancestors who had done incredible things to survive and to preserve culture despite these terrible times when there's a lot of death and destruction happening. And, that was something we wanted to continue to share, those stories of incredible resilience and survival. And also, I think part of for me personally, was after last year's show, I had a lot of people, non-Native people, coming up to me and just saying, oh, it made me feel so guilty. And that was disappointing to some extent because I felt they had really missed an important message of just, when you have the right context for the history of what happened, to know that there are still ceremonies and traditions that have survived, it's really a miracle and kind of an incredible story of heroism. The comparison I like to make is, kind of like Anne Frank type stories. And, I think that's something we as a group really want to emphasize is, there were terrible things that happened, but also incredible stories of heroism.
Jack Potter Jr. at the Redding Rancheria, who do you hope comes to see Undamning History?
I hope that everybody comes to see the Undamning History program. It's beneficial to Native Americans as non-Natives also. I believe that a lot of it'll heal a lot of Native people because there are some people that really, their families never shared the history and never passed it down, so some of them really don't know what had happened. And so because we always have some people that are like, oh, get over it, that's in the past and stuff. And it's true, we are over it. But then you can't forget about it. And so I hope that, Natives and non-Natives alike, black, yellow, red, and white, all come out and see this because it has happened to so many different people. And, we're here within our own country. And to finally get to share what has happened to our people will create healing amongst the Native race. And it may bring bonding together for all the races. Even though we still face some of these things in these modern times, there's issues like, within the play, we're going to be placing a sash over the graduate and giving Awi an eagle feather. That's common within Indian country, and it shows that we are proud of that person. They have accomplished something major in life because most Native Americans don't make it to their graduation because all the issues that they are dealing with. And they may get to high school, and then they just drop out because it gets harder and harder. And so we have that in, locally here last year, there was a student that was given a sash, and they were holding their diploma back. It's just a simple little thing that goes over their shoulders, and I don't see how that could hold up the whole graduation process. It's something that happened locally and nationally. And so if we could bring awareness that situation, that it's just something that the people have made to show appreciation that, hey, you have made it, and congratulations.
Jack, you mentioned you don't want people to, or I think it was Mark who said, it's not good that you want to have people walk out of there feeling guilty necessarily, but for non-Native people who think, okay, I don't want to feel guilty, but I want to be an ally, I want to help, what would be the best way to do that?
Well, I believe a lot of the actors, they're helping us because without the non-Native actors, we wouldn't be able to portray these scenes. And I really appreciate the non-Native actors that have stepped up to the plate and are willing to play these parts, because there's good and bad in everybody. And, to do these things that were done, it wasn't like they were just at themselves. They were highly intoxicated and stuff. You had to have been. That's what I want to believe. You had to have been highly intoxicated to perform these, acts upon people, because I would be able, I would hope that if people looked at me, they would see that I'm human. I have two legs, two arms, everything just like them, maybe a slight different color. But to be able to perform those things against the people, you had to not be in your right mind. And so I hope that people, you know, that want to be allies, you know, there's many things you can do, like fighting our sacred sites. My grandpa, Willard Rhodes, he was a storyteller of the Pit River people, and he always said, we got to doctor their minds. They are here in our country. And so we've got to do something as Native people. If I went to England and I picked up the wrong fork or spoon, I would hope somebody over there told me, hey, Jack, you don't eat like that over here. You're eating the wrong way, and educate me how to live in their land. So here as Native people, you know, those people that want to step forward and be our allies, we as Indian people need to doctor their minds and tell them, hey, this mountain over here means that to our people. Don't do that on that mountain. And, you know, they can stand alongside of us and protect those areas.
All right. It's a worthwhile project, certainly. Undamming History is the play. It runs tomorrow at 2 at the Cascade Theater in Reading as part of the 11 to 5 street fair for Indigenous Peoples History Day being held in downtown Reading. I want to thank Jack Potter Jr. from the Reading Rancheria, Barbara Wolfen, a recent graduate of Haskell Indian Nations University who's in the play, and Mark Dadigan, who helped assemble all this, a freelance journalist and the script editor. Thank you all for joining us on The Exchange.